Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see half of you here. Well, I am glad you're all here this morning. Thank you for coming. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. Will you all please stand as we open up with a nice old-timey worship song.
A land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Bow your heads. We open up with prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and praise you that we have that promise that we will meet you and all of our other brothers and sisters, God, on that beautiful shore one day. Lord, I thank you and praise you for that promise. And Lord, I thank you that you're with us every single day, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you are always, always there. And Lord, I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our worship service this morning. We want to bring glory and honor to you, Lord. And God, I am so thankful for the word that you have for us today through your pastor. I pray that you speak powerfully through him into us, God. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Now, just a couple quick announcements. You guys can continue. Youth group tonight is canceled. So youth group tonight is canceled. Everything else is in your bulletin. You guys got one of these? Wave them in the air. I got my bulletin. All right. All right, pay attention. Everything else is in the bulletin for you all today.
His glory, we stand and lift up
the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's right. The Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled.
We shine His glory, don't we? You know, in Sunday school class this morning, I'm always late to Sunday school class, but in the Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about Jesus walking on water. And the whole time I'm thinking about Jesus walking on water, it was like, where was Jesus? Where was Jesus? Well, Jesus was always with them. And in John 17, He talks about, "You are mine." And He went out after His on the water in the middle of that storm. Every time I tried to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, it was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I could see it now. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There's Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it, I couldn't see it. There was Jesus on the mountains, in the valleys.
There was Jesus
in the shadows of the hours.
wise and always wise. No, I never walked alone. You are always there. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus.
Every time I sing this song, we all think about that time when we thought we had no hope, and there was always Jesus.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Together wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether
God. bow before you and we confess you as our God. We confess you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. And we want to bow down before you to give you thanks. You have blessed each and every one of us so very, very much. And Lord, you've given us so very much. In that, your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you most of all for our salvation, that which you've given us. That is so valuable. It's so precious, and it's something that nobody can take from us. And so, Lord, we just bow and say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us, all you provided for us. And Lord, as we come now to taking up of your tithes and your offerings, Lord, look, we just ask your blessing upon both the gift and the giver, Lord. And that these funds will go to support of spreading your gospel, not just here, not just locally, not just in our state, but in this entire world, Lord, that this will have a gospel effect, that your kingdom would be built here on heaven, here on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we just come and humbly bow before you. And, Lord, as always, if I'm going to speak something, it is out of turn. I'm not right, not from you or your word, or doesn't align with your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you would silence my lips, not allow me to speak, but that you would rise up someone that you have ordained to speak today. But if it would be me, bless me, Lord, that I would honor and glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For your prayers this week, and I really appreciate it. I'm feeling much, much better, although I do feel washed out. I had to sit by Willie there. He said he's starting to lose his voice, and I thought, oh Lord, I don't want to sit by him right now. But as you noticed, Pam and Kevin and Richie and Cynthia, they're all in the Caribbean somewhere on a cruise. So, but the rest of the holes that you see, some of them are sick. Your mom and dad are sick with what I have, right? So I know, right? Just stay away, right? But, well, thankfully I'm feeling better, and thank you, but just pray for, there are many traveling, as you can see, so just, and some are sick, so pray, all right? I've entitled today's sermon, God First in Everything. So if you have your Bibles, get them to Genesis chapter 4. And also we'll be going over to Genesis chapter 14. Let me start out by asking this. How many of you in this auditorium this morning believe that we should honor God first in everything that we do and everything we have? You think that God should be first? Cool. All right. Well, this morning I have been praying about what message to preach to you for a while now. And God keeps laying today's message on my heart, and I keep putting it off. I've been putting this off for a long time. And the reason is because inevitably today's topic makes people uncomfortable. And every time I bring up this topic, in fact, the last time I brought this topic up was either 10 or 12 years ago. I get more backlash on this topic than any other topic. I get phone calls. I get people wanting to argue with me that I'm wrong. People text me their opinions, and because of that, I keep putting it off. But in truth, as your pastor, God has given me the responsibility to teach you about a topic that the Bible speaks of more than any other topic, and most topics, other topics combined. Can anybody guess what the topic is? Money. It's been 10 to 12 years since I spoke to you about money, specifically tithes and offerings. And if you're a visitor here today, again, I don't preach about money. I don't harp on money. I don't ask for money. I don't do that. But as your pastor, I feel that I need to put some teachings out there and reminders out there about the significance of this. So if you're a first-time visitor here, please don't get, I don't preach on this every week. My job is to tell you about the truth of God's word. And the truth involves what God has to say about money. So today I want you to understand, first and foremost, I want you to lay this foundation. First and foremost, I'm not preaching for money. I'm not doing that today. I don't know of any financial crisis that the church is in, and we have been blessed by God. Amen. So I'm not preaching because we need it. I'm preaching not for it, I'm preaching about it. And I want to first explain what a tithe is. Tithe simply means a tenth. 10%. Tithe equals 10%. And although this is sometimes a very controversial subject, God has a lot to say about it. Like I said, He talks about giving and tithing and such a lot. In fact, 15% of the recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ has to do with our resources, our money, or what we do with them, how we handle them. And about 15 of his parables involve our money or our possessions in some significant way. And the word give is found in the Bible as many as 1,500 times. So, statistics reveal what Jesus already knew. Giving isn't primarily a financial issue. This is where the heart of this sermon is coming from. This statement right here. Giving isn't primarily a financial issue. It's a heart issue. And I'm going to lay that out for you. I'm going to show it to you, okay? Now, before we begin, let me just say I've heard all the arguments. For instance, and I think this is the most common excuse for Christians, tithing. That's something they did way back in the day of Moses and Solomon. Way back in the old time, that's what they did. And we are we're a New Testament church now, so we are not required to tithe now. We can give whatever we want as long as it is joyfully given. Now, I do it out of a joyful heart, right? Or there is no way I can tithe. I'm in debt up to my ears. I need that money to pay my creditors. Or one is this. Sure, I tithe whenever I can. There are just some days when I can't. I just can't. Not on my income. I just don't make enough money. And God understands that. He gets that. He understands me. He gets that. Okay, then you have the opposite of that. I make a significant amount of money. 10% of my income is a lot more than others have to give, so it's just not fair for me to give so much more than anyone else. Well, then you ought to go talk to the guys that think that they don't have enough. Maybe the prayer should be, maybe God should reduce your income so that you can tithe. Or how about this? Tithing was under the law. We now live under grace. And then you have many who say this. Tithing. God said it, I do it, and that's the end of the story. Now, I think that each one of us can find ourselves somewhere in one of these examples. And as I look out at the congregation, I'm absolutely sure some of you are tithers. I can just tell, right, that some of you are tithers. I can tell by in your talk, in your speech. And the issue of tithing was settled long ago. And God has proven His promises to you for your obedience in what you do. Now, the statistics on church tithing are actually all over the place. But what it boiled down to was that about 4% of households actually tithe, while 38% claimed that they did. Do you understand what I just said there? Some people have lied about tithing, about their tithing, which tells me they believe that they should be tithing, right? Or they wouldn't have lied about it. But listen to this. Both a Barna survey in 2022 and a Lifeway survey in 2026 says that what people report giving in these surveys and what they report giving and what they actually give are dramatically different. And the survey keepers, the only way to really know is to compare tax returns with giving receipts. Listen, we're not going to do that. But the truth is, when people say they give at least 10%, is what the survey is saying, that their talkie-talkie doesn't align with their walkie-walkie. And listen, I'm telling you what I believe, or I wouldn't be standing here preaching this to you. I believe in and I practice tithing in my own life. If you want to see what I give, I will show you my tax returns, and I give Bob Jamison, the financial secretary sitting right over there, I give Bob Jamison permission to show you my tithing records. Why am I saying that? Am I showing off? No. I want you to know that I practice what I preach, and I don't expect you to not do, you know what I mean? I can't expect you to do something I'm not willing to do, right? I won't do that. So you have those permissions. Again, tithe means a tenth, and so when we talk about tithing, we are talking about returning to God 10%, the first 10 of all He has given to you. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jews would take the firstborn from animals and the first fruits of produce and grain and give it to the Lord. But the argument today is we are New Testament Christians. We say, I don't live under the law, I live under grace. That's the biggest common thing. I don't live under law, I live under grace, which actually means I don't have to do as much under grace as they did under the law, so don't talk to me about this tithing business. Meaning God's grace is cheaper than the law. Well, get this. Now, hold on. Give me a chance. I want you to get this, that the idea of tithing happened before the law. It actually precedes the law. So this morning, when it comes to tithing, I want you to look first at this. I want you to look at the priority. Priority, meaning who comes first. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Now, I'm sure you all remember Cain and Abel, amen? The sons of Adam and Eve, and you remember the sacrifice that they offered to God. Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't. Let me say it again. Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't. And who was it? And who was doing the accepting? God, right? So Abel's was accepted by God and Cain's wasn't. And I could preach an entire sermon on the reasons for this, but I think it boils down to what I'm about to show you and tell you. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. That in the process involves over a period of time, Cain kind of mustered something up. Look at 4. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now notice something. Abel gave of the first of his possessions. He didn't just over time. He got out of the first of his possessions. Verse 4, Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. Do you see the priority here? The firstborn, and not only the firstborn, but a blood sacrifice as well. Abel gave the very best that he had to God. And notice, he gave off the top, not the bottom. He didn't give what was left over or from what he didn't need or what he didn't want. He gave from the firstborn. Again, I think that we can all agree that God wants our best. We started out, right? We can all agree that God wants our best. He wants our best worship, amen. He wants our best work, amen. He wants our best service, amen. He wants our best time. He wants our best talents. I can just keep going on. The fact is, God wants the first and the best of everything that we have. Not because he's greedy, but that we would love and trust him in every area and every aspect of our lives above all things and above all else, that we glorify and honor him above everything. That's worship. So then why would we think when it comes to money, because this is always the stopping point. So why would we think when it comes to money, God wouldn't want anything other than the best offering, our first 10%? Involving the first fruit of our labors. In fact, if we were to move forward in Genesis in the 14th chapter, when Lot got into trouble and he was taken captive by some wicked king, and they took all of his possessions, and Abraham, who's Lot's uncle, heard about it. So he got some men together and pursued those who took Lot captive, and he was victorious in getting Lot back, and brought Lot and all of his belongings back. And on the way back, Abraham encountered a king named Melchizedek. In fact, turn with me to Genesis 14, beginning in verse 14. Genesis 14, beginning in verse 18, and let's pick it up there. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. This is who he was. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And he gave him a tithe of all. Did you catch that there? Verse 20. And he, Abraham, gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. So what does all of this mean? What does this mean to me? It means that the priority of tithing was at the very heart of God's people before the law. It was a priority before the law. Because I want you to take notice of something. Abel and Abraham, they both preceded Moses, and they were before Moses and the law. So the law hadn't been established by Moses yet, right? And then over in Genesis chapter 28, Abram's grandson Jacob, after he was given a blessing by his father Isaac, had a dream, the stairway to heaven, Jacob's ladder dream, right? And in that, and in the dream, God told Jacob that he would be with him and he would watch over him. So Jacob built an altar to worship the Lord. And look at verse 22, Genesis 28, verse 22. And then, and this stone which I, this is Jacob speaking, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all of that, and all that you give me, I surely will give a tenth to you. So tithing was not part of the law, but instead tithing was a priority that was established by God before the law ever even went into effect. So, tithing is a priority that was established for God's people who wanted to give God their very best. So now let me ask you. Why do you think that tithing is no longer a priority to God's people? Why do we not want to willingly give God a portion of what He has first given us? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I believe that the number one reason is this. The number one reason is selfishness, followed closely by greed and materialism. Meaning we put our own desires before honoring God, and you know what that makes us? That makes us our own priority. We're number one, and God is not. I know how to my finances better than God does. And you know, God has a plan for every entire aspect of our life. Amen? God should be first in every area of our lives. Well, all I have to say about that is remember God's displeasure with Cain. We need to remember that. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to be displeased with me. How about you? I don't want God to be displeased with me. Anybody here want God to be displeased with? Okay, I'm just getting right. So let's move on. So next we have trust. Do I trust God with what He has given me? So the priority was established among God's people by God's people. And then just so that there was no misunderstanding, along came Moses. You all remember a guy by the name of Moses, right? Along came Moses and God spelled it out. He turned to Leviticus 27, chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27, 30. This is God speaking to Moses. God is speaking to Moses. Look what it says there. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. What's the word holy mean? Set apart. So just so that God's people would understand how important this offering was, He made it a part of the law. Who made it a part of the law? The Lord did. He made it part of the law. 10% of everything was to be given to the Lord. Now, notice also that the tithe is holy to the Lord. Can you imagine that when we give a tithe, God considers it holy? I read that and I think that is awesome. God considers the tithe holy. Therefore, God wanted to make sure that His people, that's us, that God wanted His people to make sure, He wanted to make sure that His people understood that tithing was to be a principle in their lives. And God wanted to make sure that His people understood how important this is to Him. You say, what do you mean? He made it holy. He made the tithe holy. You know, let's get this straight. I want to keep you all together and keep this straight. The priority started before the law, and then when God made tithing a part of the law, He institutionalized the principle of the priority, meaning God solidified the principle of tithing. And now I'm sure that some of you are thinking, yeah, well, when you get over into the New Testament, tithing is over. Well, let's go to the New Testament. Let's try that, okay? Let's go over there. Let's go to the New Testament and turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Now, I realize that when we look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we look at those Gospels, watch, the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. And Jesus hasn't died yet. So the grace principle has not been put into place yet, but nevertheless, Jesus is speaking here, which I believe holds some authority. If Jesus speaks, do you feel it holds authority? Yes, okay. Look at verse 23, Matthew 23, 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying you are so careful to give 10%, but then you mistreat people, so you haven't done what is right. Jesus here is saying this. It's not enough to give a tithe and put yourself up and puff yourself up and say, well, you know what? It's okay, I give my tithe. It's okay, I give my tithe. It's okay, I give my tithe. Listen, if you're a tither here today, there's a joke out there. If you're a tither here today, let's say if the Holdens, I'm assuming they're tithers. I don't know that, I'm assuming. They're in the Caribbean. They get shipwrecked, and they get lost on an island. If they're a tither, the pastor will go find them. All right? But you just can't puff yourself up and say, well, I give my tithe, then that's all I'm good. Jesus was referring to the Pharisees and their phony lifestyle. They took advantage of people. They had a form of godliness, but were really, they were hypocrites. But then look at what Jesus said. He said, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So what's he talking about there? These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Jesus is talking about the tithe. Jesus is referring back to the tithe. Yes, you may have done that, but you left all the other things undone. Jesus is plainly saying, look, you should be doing both of those things. You should be tithing and you should be living right. Jesus didn't say stop tithing and start living right. Is that what he say? Did he say that in that text? Did he say stop tithing and start living right? No. Jesus wanted to underscore that tithing without proper living is not right. But tithing is right. Now, these are Jesus' words. They're not my words. Those are Jesus' words. Okay, so before the law, they tithed. It was a priority. During the law, religiously, they tithed. It was a principle under the law. And then in the New Testament, before the Holy Spirit came, they tithed as instructed by the law, as instructed by Jesus. But now you ask, what about after the Holy Spirit, after the formation of the church? What about then? Well, the Bible, here, watch. The Bible doesn't give a percentage. The Bible doesn't specifically say give a tenth. You're right, it doesn't. It does not say that. Instead, it presents a level of giving far above anything that the Old Testament ever knew. It presents a level of giving that is to literally be hilarious, not like laughing hilarious, if you go look it up. It says that your giving should be hilarious, meaning your giving should be with great generosity. That if you knew what I gave, you would think, ha, you're kidding me. It should be hilariously, with great generosity. And obviously now we don't live under the law, amen, thank you, praise God, right? We don't live under the law, we live under grace, amen? So I have to ask you this, How can we do less than those who didn't live on this side of the cross? How can we do less than those who live on this side of Christ? How can we do less than those who lived under the law? Isn't the value of grace much greater than that of the law? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Paul speaking there, 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Look what he says. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside. This is predetermined. This is predetermined. This is, you've thought about this, you've prayed about it, and you're thinking about it. It's predetermined that you're going to do this, all right? On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So how are we to give as he may prosper? We are to give in proportionate to what God has prospered us with, right? How he's propered us, what God has given us. And you say, okay. So I don't have to give 10%. Nope, you do not. In fact, you may need to give more. Oh, yeah. Now you don't like it, huh? Understand this. 10% is the entry mark that was established in the very beginning. That was the entry mark. And now God says, he comes along, God says, give according to what you have been prospered. Give to how you've been prospered. Not, listen, God is not lowering the bar. He's actually raising it here. Go study that. He's not lowering it. He's raising it. So what is the priority? What is the principle for those of us who live on this side of the cross? Well, the priority is to put God first in our life. We say we trust him in every area of our life as Christians, that we should, right? Put God first. And some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, let me tell you, I'm gonna chase a little rabbit here. Do you know how I started tithing? Kathy had to leave, I'm sure. Many of you don't know Pastor Hayes, but anybody in here remember Pastor Hayes? Yes. I was a very young Christian, 28 years old. And he challenged me and Donna to tithe. And this is what he told us. He says, try it. He says, I know it works because it's biblical. He says, if you try it and it doesn't work, stop. We haven't yet. It's the only thing in the Bible, we'll maybe touch that later on. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. Test me, right? We put God first in your life, right? And some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, I'm in debt. I can't tithe. Well, let me just say this. I'm not standing up here telling you not to pay your bills. I'm not telling you to do that. I mean, that would be silly, right? I'm not telling you that. But would you rather owe money on the 3 or 4 TVs that we have in our homes, that we have surrounding ourselves with? Would we rather owe on those 4 TVs or to God? Is it more important that you that your nails look nice before you come to church? Ooh. Rather than to contribute to the work of God? Would you rather be in debt to God or to Visa or MasterCard? That's what I'm asking you. Or maybe there are some of you out there who are saying, Pastor, I just can't make ends meet as it is. I'm a single parent. I lost my job, or whatever hardship you may be facing right now. But you're saying, listen, Pastor, you can't expect me to tithe when I'm barely making it now. Let me say this first and foremost. Let me tell you very clear. I do not expect you to tithe. God does. It's not my expectation. This is not my word. This is God's word. I'm trying to teach you what it says. I don't expect you to tithe. God does. God made it a priority and a principle of trust, right? It was a trust. He made that, not me. Listen, the principle God established is that we give first because we trust him in all things. It's that simple. Therefore, the principle of tithing can only happen if you truly believe and trust God to support you and to supply you with not only your spiritual needs, but also with your daily physical needs. And if I can trust Him with my spiritual needs, how great is that? Then why would I not be able to trust Him in my physical? But let me say this. Somewhere along the way, we either believe and trust in God in His Word or we don't. And I believe that God has put this topic into the fabric of our life so that we can learn how to trust Him with what we value the most. What is the thing that we value the most here on earth? Our money. Now, thus far, we have gone through the scriptures and followed tithing throughout the Bible. You're all feeling great now, right? Followed tithing throughout the Bible, before the law, into the law, after the law, even into the New Testament. And the reason I wanted to trace this subject was so that we could get a historic theology on the matter. But next week, we will look at the penalties and prizes of tithing. I'm sure it'll be very well attended. We will look at the principles and prizes of tithing. At least that's where I think the Lord's going to take me next week. That's His plan, not mine, right? But I think that's where He's taking me. But this morning, let me say this. Making tithing a priority is no different than the priority of prayer. How many think that prayer is a priority? It's no different than making prayer the priority of prayer. The priority of service. The priority of loving others or having mercy on others or forgiving others. You should do the former as well as the latter. You should be doing, as Jesus said, what? Both. Right? We should be doing both. And all of these other things that are ordained by God, we should agree and do, right? We do all these things and leave tithing undone. Because when it comes to letting go of our money, money that really doesn't belong to us to start with, it's all God's. It's all God's. He gives it, and if God gives it, then He can certainly what? It goes back to when I get that great new job with the great new pay. And I'm not picking on my brother Kenny. He's got a huge promotion, so I don't want him to think I'm picking on him. We look at that thing, yeah. But then whenever he loses that job, he's like, what are you doing to me, God? Look. When it comes to letting go of it, a lot of us, we just refuse. We find every excuse in the book not to do it. And if there's, and if that's the case, watch, because this is going to get hurt. If that's the case, then we are in sin. And why do I say that? Because God called the tithe holy. And if we are not doing it, what is holy? If we're not doing it, then we are committing an unholy act. And what is an unholy act? And just like any other sin, what do we need to do? Repent. Turn away from that and get right with God, right? Because the priority of trusting, the priority and trust in tithing brings either penalties or prizes. It brings it into our lives, and we'll look at that next week, and you kind of, I'll just give you a little thing. You can kind of see that in Cain and Abel. Listen, we don't live under the law. Praise God. Amen. Yes. We don't live under the law, but we do live under grace. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, right? What's more valuable to you? And more importantly, what is more valuable to God? Listen, I want you to get this side of the other side of this coin. What's more valuable to God? Grace cost him everything that he had. Everything. It cost him everything he has, not just the best and first that he had. It cost him everything. Jesus gave it all, and all to him I. His blood left a crimson stain. Thank you so much. Left a crimson stain that he has washed me as white as. So do I believe that tithe is too much to ask for? I'm asking me personally. Do I believe that a tithe is too? No. The best thing that Pastor Hayes ever did in my, one of the best, he led me to my salvation, but one of the best things that that man ever did was he challenged me in this. And I want to do the same to you. Man. In the light of his grace, think about this. In the light of his grace, being under his grace, being under his love, not the law, his grace and his love. I believe that 10% is an easy thing because grace is greater than all of my sin and grace is greater than the law. The law condemned me, but grace set me free. Get that. The law condemned me, but the grace set me free. Therefore, because Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law, that's not why he came. He came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law. Our tithe should be the starting point of our giving, not the ending point. Why, you might ask? Well, Matthew chapter 6:21 says this. I told you earlier, this was the crux of the sermon, remember? Why, you might ask? Well, Matthew 6:21 says, your treasure is where your, say it louder, where your heart is. So is your heart in the things of God or in the things of the world? And remember from last week, you can't take anything from this world with you. But remember from last week, you can be a jewel in God's treasure chest. Meaning, do you delight in the eternal things or the things that are fading away? Well, your checkbook or your bank statement, I know when I say checkbook, a lot of people look at me like, a what? When you look at your checkbook or your bank statement, should reveal the truth of what your heart treasures most, what your heart treasures first. Where do you spend? What do you support? What is your first priority? So, church, let me bring this all the way back to where Jesus brought it. Let me bring us all the way back to where Jesus brought it. We've talked about money, we've talked about giving, we've talked about tithing, and we've talked about generosity. But Jesus never intended for us to leave here. Jesus never intended us to leave this place thinking about our money. You say, yeah, but you're not shutting up about it. No, I am. Very quickly, actually. Jesus never intended us to leave here thinking about our money. Jesus wants us to leave here thinking about our hearts. Because that's what Jesus said. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, your checkbook and your bank statement, watch what I'm about to tell you. Your checkbook and your bank statement doesn't determine where your heart is. It reveals where your heart is. And maybe today the Holy Spirit has put his finger on something in your life. Maybe it's not tithing. Maybe it's something else. Maybe he's put his finger on something else in your life. Maybe he's been holding, maybe you've been holding tightly to what God has placed into your life or something that God has placed into your hands because you're afraid that if you let go of it, that it won't be enough left for you. Maybe God has been asking you to trust him Or maybe you've been faithful in giving, but you've realized what you've been given, that you've been giving your money while holding your heart back from something else or something more. Or maybe you've never really surrendered your finances to the Lord at all. Again, I want to challenge you that. And maybe this morning God isn't asking you to write a check. Maybe God's not asking you to write a check. Maybe He's asking you to surrender your heart. That's the greater. That's the greatest thing right there. That's the greater of all of it. Because listen, before God ever wants what's in your wallet, He wants what's in your heart. So let me wrap this up in a nice little bow. How do we start this out? The very thing I asked you. Do you believe that God should be first in everything? I've preached all of this to tell you this. He wants you to surrender your heart. God doesn't want what's in your wallet before He wants what's in your heart. So let me give this up to the Lord. God wants to be first. And trusting Him requires faith. And our giving reveals where our heart really is. And here's the good news. You can trust a God. Thank you, Lord. You can trust a God who gave His Son for you. John 3:16, watch what it doesn't say. John 3:16 doesn't say, "For God so loved the world that He received." It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." God gave His very, very best for you. Jesus gave His life for you. Not 10%, but all of Himself completely. All of Himself. He was all in. All in. So now the question isn't simply, am I giving enough? That's not the question. The question is, have I given myself completely to Him? So today, before we talk about what God wants from your hand, let's settle what God wants from your heart. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to give Him your life. He values that before any dollar. If you are already saved, but the Holy Spirit has shown you that there's some area or an area of your life that you're still holding on to, your money, your possessions, your security, your future, your plans, your time, today is a good day to open your hands up and say, "Lord, everything I have came from You. Therefore, everything I have belongs to You. And I trust You with it all." All of it. 100%. Just like You, Father, gave Your Son. Let us pray. Father God, You gave everything for us. You gave absolutely everything. So today we surrender everything back to You. Lord, we ask that You take our hearts. We ask that You take our lives. We ask that You take our resources, all that we have and possess. And teach us, Lord. You have to teach us to trust You, to honor You, and to give with the right heart. To serve You with the right heart. To worship You with the right heart. And Lord, if If there is anything we're holding on to that you are asking us to release, give us the faith, Lord. Give us the faith to open our hearts and our hands and let it go. Let it go. Because if you're asking, why would we not when you gave it all? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Listen, if God has spoken to you today, don't ignore that voice. Don't ignore it. The altar is open just for people. The altar isn't open just for people who need salvation. If you need that, you definitely need to come. But it's for anyone who needs to surrender something to God. That's what the altar for. Anytime somebody went to the altar in the Bible, they were always surrendering something. That's what the altar is for. So if you need to surrender something, come today. It doesn't have to be the tithe. Maybe today your prayer simply needs to be, Lord, I trust you. Or, Lord, help me trust you. If that's you, when the music begins, don't hesitate. You come. Amen? Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. We all please stand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
For the many that are sick, and thank you for your prayers for me once again. As you can tell, I wasn't very energetic today. I'm still kind of washed out, so I'm on the mends, but there are many in here and that are missing today that are not feeling well, so please pray for them. For one reason or the other, they're not well, but pray for them. But pray for the many who are traveling. Pray that this don't hit them. Amen. But listen, as we go, go enter the mission field. Go and worship the Lord out there. Go serve out there. Go tell someone that you care about them. That's the greatest thing in the world, is to know that somebody cares about you. So when you go out there, show an act of kindness this week. Try showing an act of kindness. If you show up next week, I'll try to do better. Amen. I love you all. You're dismissed. Thank you.
When we've been there.